Be seated. Before I begin my message for today, I want to fill you guys in on a few of the events that happened this past weekend at our Synod Assembly. We had our Virginia Synod Assembly, and for those who aren't sure what that is, Bethel is a part of a national denomination called the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. And of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, there are 65 regional areas called synods. Well, we're part of the Virginia Synod. Imagine that. And so each synod has a bishop. Well, we have been blessed to have a pastor by the name of Jim Mawney as our bishop for the past 18 years, and he's retiring. So we had a bishop's election this past weekend that I was at. Along with Tom and Susie Beyer, Molly Beyer, and Tom Milburn, who were all representing our congregation as voting members of that event. And so we have now elected a new bishop. He is one of the co-pastors of Muhlenberg Lutheran Church down in Harrisonburg. His name is Bob Humphrey. I'm sure he'll be known as Bishop Bob from now on, and he has been around the Synod for many, many years, very well respected. He has a counseling degree, and he's a wonderful pastor's pastor, I believe, and I think he'll serve us well. Most likely, it will be a one-term tenure, I would imagine, although who knows, but I do believe that he will serve us well and will be a nice bishop for us to have following such a wonderful term of Bishop Mawney, who was actually given the honorary title of Emeritus. So he is our Bishop Emeritus. Oh yeah, there's one other thing I need to tell you about Bishop Mawney. He will be preaching here. He will be coming here on August the 6th. Now, what's special about that is if you're a senior, one of our seniors, graduating seniors, one of the things we do is we put the quilts on them, right? Right? We bless each of our seniors. Well, Bishop Mawney is going to be here that day to preach for them, but what he doesn't know is he's getting a quilt too. So everybody be here August 6th. It's going to be awesome because I talked to him at the Synod Assembly and I was asking him kind of what he wanted to do in retirement. And he was like, David, I want to play that golf course on 37. Rock Harbor. So if you're a golfer, immediately following worship, and I'm sure we'll have a little reception, we're going to Rock Harbor and play golf with the bishop. So if you want to be a part of that group that does that, let me know. We'll probably pass the bishop around foursomes and let each of you get to play with them a little bit. But a great celebration of Mawney's ministry, but also excited about having Bishop Bob Humphrey. I think it'll be a really, really a good transition. So I wanted you to keep the Synod in your prayers as I lift that up for you. In your bulletins, you should also see an assembly update, which tells you some of the other things that went on, which were good and nice, but the main thing we did was elect a new bishop, and that was a very special, special time. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for the gift of the church that is expressed in our world through the local congregation, through the gathering of synods, through the gathering of national church, and through our global expressions of faith. All the different ways that you help us make Christ known in this world. Ways that we can be your hands and do your work in this world. I pray your blessings upon our new bishop, Bob Humphrey, and I give thanks for the wonderful ministry of Jim Mawney. I ask, Lord God, that you would bless our synod and all the different congregations as we seek in our own part of the vineyard to be laborers of the harvest and to seek ways to live out our discipleship fully and completely in the unique, beautiful ways that you've created us all to be. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so today I want to talk to you a little bit about discipleship and being laborers in the vineyard and the harvest, and talk to you about that through the prism of Father's Day. And in particular, through the prism of my relationship with my dad, the Reverend Bob Young. Now, you haven't really had a chance to get to know him very well. In my first congregation, you know, remember I was young, I didn't have a wife to take care of me or any of those kind of things. So my parents came and visited a lot. And they got to know the congregation really well, and everybody got to know them very well. But now that I'm, you know, a father of my own and have a lot different things, and my parents have gotten older, my parents don't really travel as much anymore, so you haven't gotten a chance to know him. But I wanted to share a little bit about how his witness of faith has shaped me in my own life. I would imagine many of you have a very similar story. You see, in the Gospels, I like to say that we have a couple of different visions for how you come to faith. You have the St. Paul experience, right? The wonderful, amazing experience of his road to Damascus, right? Where he is encountered by the living Jesus and he becomes on fire. He is a convert to the faith, and St. Paul has that wonderful excitement and energy for the faith because he is a convert. He has been brought to the faith from the outside and has come to it anew. That's not my experience. And I would dare say it's probably not most of yours either. Maybe it is. But I'm more like Timothy. You remember Timothy? The letters that Paul would write to Timothy and talk to him about how his life and his faith had been shaped by his grandmother and his mother, Eunice and Lois. You see, Timothy grew up believing in Jesus. And that's me. I grew up in the church. I grew up going to church all the time. I grew up going to church way more than I ever wanted to go. I grew up going to church when it didn't make any sense to me that I needed to still be at church. Because my dad was the pastor. And he was still talking to the people. And after church, I was ready to go home. And I wanted to get away. But my dad was there. I grew up inundated with the church. I grew up and ended up going to a Lutheran college. And then from a Lutheran college to a Lutheran seminary. And then from a Lutheran seminary to a Lutheran church. And then from that Lutheran church to this one. I'm about as churched and institutionalized as you can get. Institutionalized as you can get as a Lutheran. I am. And so this idea of coming to Jesus and having this St. Paul experience is not mine at all. Mine was one that was fostered, and in particularly fostered by my father. Now, one of the funny things about being a preacher's kid, and I know there are many preacher's kids out there, is that the pastor that stands up and everybody likes generally on Sunday morning because they're affable and genuine is also the person who's yelling at you in the car on the way to church. And there can be a disconnect from the father or the mother who is preaching the pulpit about God's love for you and how God forgives and how God's amazing grace is there for you. And I would often wonder, yeah, where was that for me last night when I didn't finish my Brussels sprouts? Yeah, where was that? Where was that when I wanted to spend time with my dad and he goes, sorry, son, I have to go to church. Sorry, son, I'd love to take you to that park and play with you, but unfortunately I got a phone call and I have to go somewhere and I have to care about them. There were times in my life that I thought my dad cared more about you people than me. And I would dare say, who knows, I imagine at times my own three children wonder that about Heidi and I. So I didn't always have the best relationship with the church. But my dad would do amazing things. On Sunday mornings, he would bring me into church and bring me to the back, to the sacristy, so I could see the inner sanctum, the holy of holies, if you will. And he would bring me back there and just say, I just want to tell you, Dave, I'm sorry I haven't been here as much for you this week, but I love you. And nothing is more important to me than you. And that meant a lot to a little boy who wanted nothing more than the love of a father. My dad then would make commitments to keep being with me no matter what, as much as he could. He'd be at my ball games as much as he could. He would be at different things as much as he could. And he would witness this promise to me that even though I could get on his bad side, and there were times that he was not very happy with me, that I always knew that he would be there for me. And so whenever I would go to church and talk about God the Father, it was not a hard thing for me to see that as loving. Now, that's not everybody's experience, and I recognize that. I know that not everybody is blessed like that. But I was. My dad would teach me, I still remember him teaching me the Lord's Prayer. I remember laying in bed and him teaching me the Lord's Prayer. And the only thing I can remember about that is, remember that part where you get near the very end, for the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The word glory, I knew I'd heard that somewhere, and it reminded me of Gloria from All in the Family. For you young people, you have no idea what I'm talking about. But for the people my age, remember All in the Family, Gloria, Sally Struthers. All I can remember this day, and you know, in the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Gloria. Oh, okay. Somehow she was a part of God. I don't know how. I did wonder where Meathead was, but no, I didn't go there. But the reality is those stories of Dad teaching me things. I remember my dad taking me to VBS, and we had this awesome VBS every year. It wasn't as big and cool as what we do here, but we would go out to this camp, and we would always spend the night on the last night. And my dad had this Bronco, all right? This Bronco was held together, literally, by duct tape and prayer. But it could go anywhere. My dad loved that car, and we could take it wherever we could. And so I remember spending the night in the back of that Bronco at Boy Scout camp, or at VBS, in the middle of the mountains. And I remember my friends and I would be in the back of the Bronco spending the night, you know, and we would go, Dad, we don't need you here. We don't need you to be a part of this with us. And he's like, okay, I won't stay anywhere. Well, I didn't find out till much later that he would be camping right near there just in case we got scared, just in case we were overcome at night. He was not too far away. And it reminded me of maybe that's the way God works in our lives too a little bit. Always keeping that eye on us in the midst of our freedom, knowing that God will come in and help and rescue and renew us if we need it. My dad would talk to me about all the difficult things that would happen in life. He helped me through worries about nuclear war by telling me God would never allow humans to destroy the world that God loves so much, and it gave me comfort. He was the one who would tell me and be with me in the midst of difficult struggles through the teenage years, who was always there for me, reminding me not only that he loved me, but that Jesus loved me. And then as I got older and started having thoughts about what does it mean to follow the faith, he was the one that would sit me down. I remember asking him about hell. And I was like, well, you know, let's talk about hell, Dad. You know, you're a preacher. Tell me about hell. You know, who all's there? You know, who's there? Are these people there? I would like for them to be there. Are they there? And I'll just never forget what he said to me one time about hell. He goes, you know, Dave, God is more compassionate than any of us could ever be. I would imagine most people have enough faith to save them. And I remember thinking about that. And whether you agree or not, I remember thinking, that here is somebody who wasn't emphasizing how God was out to get us and judge us, but a God who wanted to give every absolute possible opportunity for someone to have and feel salvation. I remember my dad talking to me about all sorts of theological issues. I remember challenging him, you know, being young and full of a lot of new knowledge from seminary. And I remember standing up and I remember saying things to him about, you know, well, Dad, don't you think about this and this and this and this and whatever it happens to be? And he would just smile, you know, and go, you have no idea. He would just look at me and go, okay, okay. Let's see how that works out for you in the church, son. Let's see how that works out for you. He is what I would call a pastor's pastor. He's the person I call. Still, I called him last week to ask about faith and how to pastor through difficult situations. He is someone who is always there for me in those moments. I remember, too, this special moment that we had not too long after I got ordained. I took my parents out to eat, and I signed the check, or the signed the check. I signed it, the bill, Reverend Dave Young. And my dad started crying. Why? Because he had never seen that in front of my name. And he just went, wow. Wow. He was the one who believed in me to be a pastor before I ever could have believed in myself. He's the one who still believes in me when I call him up and I tell him what a horrible job I'm doing as your pastor and I'm really worried about how I'm messing up this church, and he tells me, no, you're probably not messing it up. They're too good to let you mess it up. But he also gives me confidence and courage. He remains the person I talk to about my most difficult struggles and my most difficult sufferings. He remains that pastor to me. And that's really what he is. He's a pastor to the pastors. He's a pastor's pastor. He's someone who only took, when he retired, took 1 year to hang out by the pool, went to church, listened to people do their thing, and said, well, I can do it better than that. And he's gone back in, and he's been preaching ever since. Now me, when I retire, I'm going to find a beach, preferably near a golf course. My dad is still pastoring, and he will probably until he can no longer do it. Because at the very heart of who my dad is a belief that God in Christ loves you and loves me and loves him despite all the reasons that he shouldn't. Despite all the ways in which we fail God, God still loves us, and that is a message that should never cease to be shared with other people. That means that you give of yourself and your time and your effort to help other people know in the midst of their most difficult struggles and pains and hurts and uncertainties and doubts, no matter what it is, you show up and you say, God is here. God is here in my words to you. God is here to love you and care for you and lead you into God's preferred future of abundance. Life for you. That is what my dad believes at his core, and that is why he still loves doing what he does today. That is why he and how he chose to love me and my sister and my mom and every parishioner he ever served. The guy truly believes and trusts Jesus to be who he says he's going to be. And he'll stand up and make a fool of himself in front of anybody telling you that that is what he believes and that you can dare to believe it too. And if anybody has taught me anything about life and faith, it's that that's not a bad model to follow. I can tell you this. My dad's nicer than I am. He is. He is loving and patient and awesome. All of you would just love him and love him and love him as I do, as all of his parishioners have, because he embodies what it means to selflessly love the Lord and to love His people. I've often said, my dad has no ego. And that's not true. He does have a little bit of one. But he so loves Jesus that he believes that he can dare to love you as Jesus does and to share that message with you in every way. And so on this day, on Father's Day, when I give thanks for him showing me a lot of things, how to throw a curveball, how to shoot a jump shot, how to live through another losing Redskins season, the thing I'm most thankful for is he showed me what it means and how to be a pastor, how to be a disciple of Jesus, someone who in the midst of all of your uncertainties dares to trust that this is true. And if it's true, then it changes everything. And if it changes everything, then the world is open to every possibility. And if the world is open to every possibility, well, then we can dare to take risks. And then if we can dare to take risks, then the world changes. And it all begins with someone saying, this is true. And that is what discipleship is. And that's what my dad's taught me. And that's what I hope I can teach you and you. In Jesus' name, amen.